Good morning. If you're not awake, we can't help you there. We have done everything we can to wake you up. What a good morning. This is, my kids are younger, but I often hear my parents talk about, you know, when my mom gets all her kids back in the same house, it feels different. This feels like that, like this sort of beautiful moment in which the whole family of God is together. You know, for so many of us who are only in here, we forget that there's a whole kind of world happening down the hall, and this morning is one of those chances where we get to remember what it's like to have everyone in the same living room together. And so, kids, we are so happy you guys are here joining us. Thank you guys for being here and worshiping with us. You know, as has been said, you know, we had a big week this week, and so much of what we've witnessed is kind of from the camper side of what has taken place. But I don't want to avoid the or kind of miss the gratitude we have for so many of you leaders who are in here who served this week. I mean, we had hundreds of kids here, and then on top of that, we had dozens and dozens of leaders who've been here helping to pour into the next generation. So if that was you guys, thank you for giving up your week as well. You know, our mission at CPC is to make and mature more followers of Christ. And this is one of those weeks where we get to see that kind of at all spectrums. You know, as Daniel and Erica shared, this whole week has been centered around this idea of how do we learn to follow Jesus here, there, and everywhere. And it's really been emphasizing this idea of the journey. And all of us are at different places on the journey of faith, but all of us are, in fact, on a journey of faith. On a journey to discover who Jesus is, to wrestle with what the implications are for you and I. And so this theme of ready, set, move, follow Jesus here, there, and everywhere is yes for these campers, but it's really a theme for all of us. It connects, it resonates with each and every one of us because, again, we're all on this sort of journey, if you will. And so each day, and I'm going to do this quick because Daniel and Erica did as well, but each day we looked at a different aspect of what it means to follow Jesus. So day one, we learned what it means to do what Jesus says. And we looked at some of the teachings of Jesus in the end of the Sermon on the Mount when he says, where are you building your foundation? On what are you placing or constructing your life? Is it built on the sand or is it built on the rock? And then in day two, we talked about how you must believe who Jesus is. And we looked at that text in which Jesus is with Peter. And he says, you know, Peter, who do you say I am? It's a text we didn't look to that long ago, even in this room, where we're asking that question of who do we believe Jesus is? Well, that's a crucial step in the journey of faith, to believe who Jesus is. Day three, we looked at what it means to love who Jesus loves. It's the text we'll look at today, but it wrestles with this question, the Easter story of Peter receiving forgiveness and then being sent out to continue to do the work of ministry. And day four, we looked at sharing what Jesus did, and we looked at Acts 2, and we talked about the Holy Spirit coming at Pentecost and how now we are sent out, but we are not alone, and we have the Spirit dwelling within us, leading us to share all of the things that Jesus shares with us to share with others. And then lastly, we talked about going where Jesus leads. And we looked about how, in some ways, this story of the scriptures, we're still in the middle of it. We haven't arrived at the end of the story yet because the end of the story is still in process. And you and I and we as the church have a role to play in this story. And so we are sent to go where Jesus would have us go, to be led where Jesus would have us led. And I love, and Holland, thank you for sharing your story. She mentioned the theme verse in Hebrews 12, and it's been this text. It's a little bit different, a different translation than we're used to. But it's let us keep looking to Jesus, because he is the one who started this journey of faith, and he is the one who completes this journey of faith. Right, your Bible might say something like he is the author and perfecter of our faith. And I love that because, again, wherever we land on this journey of faith, it begins with Jesus. He is the author, the one writing the story, and he's also the one who brings it to its fullest completion. And so the story begins with Jesus and the story ends with Jesus. And it's important that we remember that this morning because we're going to look at a text that Jacob read for us, where we really find Peter, this character who's, I think, immensely likable, maybe because he stumbles around much like myself through life. oftentimes jumps before he looks, says things before he thinks, makes declarations that he realizes later he probably can't uphold. But Peter is this character in which you see this sort of spectacular failure. You see him just make these statements and then completely do the opposite thing. But yet Jesus in this moment invites him back into the story. And in so many ways, Peter is this perfect exemplar of what the journey of faith is. It's a story that helps us understand what the journey of faith looks like. And so as we look at this text, one that we looked at with the campers this week, I hope you kind of hold in your mind this verse from Hebrews that Jesus is the one who is the author and the perfecter of our faith. So if you have your Bible, flip to John chapter 21. And as you flip there, I want to kind of unpack a little bit more about this character, Peter. You know, one of the beautiful things of the Gospels is that Jesus uses very ordinary characters. I mean, Peter was simply a fisherman, someone who was probably at that point uneducated, maybe had a successful business. We see he owns a boat, so he's done okay for himself. But in many respects, he's simply an ordinary guy who's just going about his life. But Jesus tends to use the ordinary for something far beyond that. And so as Jesus is starting his ministry, he's going around and he's inviting people saying, come follow me, come follow me. And so Peter, whose life was quite ordinary up to this point, receives this invitation from Jesus to follow him. And he says in the text that he drops his nets, he leaves everything behind to begin to follow Jesus. He's zealous, he's kind of ambitious. Exuberant. He pursues this call. But again, Peter, you see this characteristic kind of continue to trace through him, right? Remember that scene where Jesus is out on the water and there's this big storm and everyone's freaking out and Jesus comes literally walking on the water. And as he's walking out there, Peter's like, well, I could probably do that. And so he like jumps out because he wants to be with Jesus. And he understands this idea to follow. So at one point, Peter just hops out of the boat, walking on water, and it says that he begins to actually take a few steps, but it was once he took his eyes off Jesus that he began to sink. See, Peter is this character with immense faith, but again, in so many ways, he jumps before he looks, he speaks before he thinks. And again, I think that's a little bit maybe like you and I. We have that same sort of moments. There's a scene later in the story in which Jesus, a few hours before he's going to be arrested and taken to the cross, and he's having a final meal with his disciples, and he's looking at them, and he says, where I am going, you can't go with me. And Peter's like, wait a minute, we're following you. I'm walking on water for you. I'm doing everything I can to follow you. And so he blurts out, he says, Jesus, I will lay down my life for you. Of course I'll follow wherever you go. And Jesus says, will you really lay down your life? Very truly, I tell you, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. And most of us are familiar with the story as it unfolds. Jesus is arrested. He's taken to the cross. And in that moment, in that night, Peter is confronted by a servant girl and a few others around a small fire as they're trying to keep warm. And they're like, hey, didn't you know that Jesus guy? And Peter's fearful. He's scared of what the implications would be if he said yes to that. And he's like, no, I'm not one of them. I don't know this. I don't know who you're talking about. And then as the night unfolds, three times, Jesus denies even knowing Jesus. Again, it's very similar. It's a spectacular failure. It's Peter in this moment where he seems to want to have this immense faith, but what comes to fruition in that moment is there's really not nearly as much faith as he thought was there. Again, another place I think you and I can resonate with Jesus' faith. I mean, have you ever been there where you were gung-ho, I'm going to follow Jesus wherever he leads me, I'm going to do this, and you pursue that, but then in the moment when the rubber meets the road, if you will, you watch your faith kind of fall apart a little. I mean, have you ever been there? I've been there. There are multiple times in my life I can look at when everything external to me seemed to be pressing in on me, it slowly started to break apart because I couldn't quite muster the courage, but I am not the author and perfecter of my faith. Jesus is. And so what you see in this moment in John 21 is the end of the story, and it's after Peter's spectacular failure. It's after the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus. It's the scene in the movie, right, where the credits are about to roll. The climax is really resolved, but there's still some loose ends. And so it kind of like everything all of a sudden gets quiet after the chaos of the film, and it zooms in, and the scene that we see is Jesus on the shore around a small fire similar to one that Peter had been around just the night earlier, a few nights earlier. And Jesus is having this discussion with his disciples after having a good meal, which is always a good thing. And then we get to John 21, verse 15. So follow along with me in the text. It says this. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said. "You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." Now, with all of that backstory of Peter, imagine the scene. I mean, it's an interesting dialogue, an interesting back and forth, and notice that it's happening right amongst all the disciples. It's a moment of tension, to be quite honest, right? Everyone had watched the moments transpire. They had seen things they'd never seen before. They'd watched Peter's, or at least certainly had heard of Peter's spectacular failure. They've watched Jesus die, get hung on a cross, buried, and then resurrected. And it's this quiet moment in which Jesus, in some ways, confronts Peter. He says, "Peter, do you love me?" Now imagine that question for Peter. How does that strike? Here's his teacher, his rabbi, his savior, after everything he's been through and watched, and he hears this sort of penetrating question, "Do you love me?" And then he says, "Do you love me more than these?" Now there's all sorts of debate about what the "these" are. My guess is there's probably a moment where Jesus is saying, "Do you love me as much as these?" And he's sitting with his disciples. He says, "Do you love me more than these?" It could be that he's sitting by the boat and his fishing supplies, and he says, "Hey, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than your means of living, your means of success and career?" I think in some ways what the answer is really superfluous. It doesn't necessarily matter what he means by these. What Jesus is asking is the searching question that all of us as disciples of Jesus have to ask is, do we love Jesus more than these? Whatever those other things are. It's the question. It's a penetrating question. Jesus is pushing to the very heart and the question of discipleship. Do you love me? Do you love me? And Peter responds and he says, "Well, of course, Jesus, yes, I love you." Again, a similar reaction to what we know of Peter. Very similar, like, "Yes, yes, yes, I love you, I love you." And Jesus then says again, "Well, Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He says, "Do you love me?" A second time. And Peter now is like, "Jesus, did you not hear me? Like, is the sizzling bacon too loud? Like, what's happening here? Like, Jesus, I love you. I love you." But then Jesus looks at him one more time and he asks a third time. He says, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And the text says Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him a third time, "Do you love me?" And listen to his reply this time. You can almost sense the change of tone of voice. He says, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." What's going through Peter's mind in that moment? Certainly, it would have brought to mind just days before the three denials, and Jesus now asks him three times, "Do you love me?" See, it's a moment in which Jesus is confronting his failure, but he's doing so in a way that is both a bit haunting as well as comforting. Because Jesus is confronting him and saying essentially like, "Hey, what happened here? We saw you fall to the wayside here. We saw your faith crumble there. Like, do you love me?" Like, it's a genuine question of how, like, do you really love me more than these? But it's comforting because I think what Jesus is also doing is he's giving Peter the chance to essentially absolve those three failures, saying, "I'm bringing you once again before me. I'm giving you another invitation," which you see at the end of this when Jesus responds with, follow me. Follow me. The invitation is still there for Peter. See, I can't help but just think and meditate on what is Peter experiencing in this moment. Is it shame? Is it fear? Is it comfort? Is it some sort of mix of all of that? Because he's been trying to follow Jesus wherever he's been, but yet he continues to misstep. But here's the beautiful thing. Jesus continually over and over comes back to him and invites him back into relationship. And it's in this moment that I think Jesus, with all the tenderness, with all the care of a loving father and a loving rabbi, says, Peter, do you love me? I'm with you. Because notice where the text goes. Look down at verse 18. Jesus continues after inviting him to follow again, and he says, very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you were old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. Notice what's happening here. Jesus is giving Peter a little bit of an insight into what the next step of his journey is. He's giving Peter a little vision out over the horizon. He's saying, there is coming a time, very truly I tell you, when you were young, you'd dress yourself, you'd take care of yourself, but when you're older, you won't be able to do those things. Now, think through the lens of what Jesus just went through. Do you remember when he was taken to the cross? They took his clothes, they clothed him with a crown, they did all of these sorts of things. Jesus is indicating, and the text just says it, the kind of death which Peter would endure, and it mirrors the very death of Jesus, which the history tells us that Peter was in fact crucified at one point. He did in fact endure that kind of death, and I think it's a moment in which Jesus is looking at Peter and he says, Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And Peter says, yes, Lord, yes. Yes, and then I think what happens is Jesus actually assures Peter and says, there's coming a day. You won't want to go to the cross, but you will. A couple nights before, Peter did not want to associate with Jesus, and he ran. This time, you won't want to go, but you'll continue and be faithful. I think it's a moment in which Jesus is encouraging Peter to say, your faith will sustain you this time. I am now writing your story. And he says, follow me. See, I think the beautiful thing of this story is that when we stumble, Jesus continually picks us up. That whatever the sort of moment on the journey of faith that we have, wherever you are at with that, if you are like Peter sitting there on the shore, Jesus invites you yet again and again, do you love me? Do you love me? See, I think there's three things that I want to close with that happens with this interaction with Peter that presents us with the same sort of hope as well as confrontation. The first seems so basic, but yet we often forget it's that Jesus saves. All right, remember, Peter's spectacular failure happened before the cross. It happened in the midst of it. It's what Paul in Romans 5 would say is like, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. See, we get this backwards. We tend to think, I have to perform, I have to fix my life, I have to get everything kind of set and in the right order, and then I can come to Jesus, then maybe he'll save me, but that's not the case at all. See, Jesus went to the cross in the midst of the sin. Think of the story of Exodus that colors much of the Bible. It was the Israelites were enslaved, and all they could do was say, why God, why God, and what did God do? He went in and saved his people. It was not the initiation of the people of God, it was the initiation of God himself. And that always begins. Jesus is the author of our salvation. He is the beginning. He is the start. He is the one who orchestrates the story. See, Jesus saves. Jesus moves closer. This is the first, most fundamental step of the journey of faith, is that Jesus saves. And so for you and I, we have to understand that when we stumble, Jesus saves. When we sin, Jesus saves. It's not in spite of that. It's not because you figured it out and you cleaned yourself up. It's simply the fact that Jesus is a saving God. It is who the very character of God is. And Jesus saves. I think secondly, what you watch unfold in this story is that Jesus secures, right? He secures Peter's relationship and he secures Peter's future, right? Notice again, in the midst of the failure, after the resurrection, they're having breakfast and Jesus goes to Peter and says, listen, do you love me? He is the one creating the environment in which Peter can rest secure in his relationship with Jesus. And not only that, Jesus speaks of his future and says, there is coming a day where your faith will be strong. I will empower you. I will walk with you. And certainly if you've read the book of Acts, you see that. You see the transformation of Peter from a kind of bumbling coward in the Gospels to the very rock of the church in Acts 2, where he stands up and will preach boldly the message of Jesus before whatever audience God would give him. And so you see this strength, and I think it's built on this idea that Jesus secures our relationship with him. He secures our future in such a way that we can then live from that place. See, as humans, we need that security. We need that safety. It's what helps us to flourish. If you're uncertain in your attachments to your loved ones, it's hard for you to really flourish in that relationship. But when there's a secure attachment with those who are around you, you begin to flourish because you can take more steps of faith, understanding their care and support is there. This scene is about Jesus securing the relationship so Peter could flourish. Which really leads to the third and last thing is that not only does Jesus save and that Jesus secures, but lastly, Jesus sends. You see, throughout the questions was, do you love me? Peter, yes, I love you. And then Jesus would follow up, well, then feed my sheep. Do you love me? Yes, Jesus, I love you. And tend my lambs. Do you love me? Yes, I love you. Okay, then feed my sheep. And what does Peter go on to do? He becomes the rock of the church. Very fundamental role was him feeding the sheep. You see, Jesus not only saves, he not only secures, but he also sends, which is Jesus' way of saying, listen, that spectacular failure is not the end of your story. It is not the thing that defines you. See, Peter didn't live from that identity forever. He became the rock of the church. He became that founder. That is the identity in which Jesus honed in on and said, it is from that identity I am sending you out. So church, where are you at in that journey of faith? Maybe for you, you're still figuring out that Jesus saves aspect. Maybe again, like I said earlier, you're sitting with Jesus on the shore and he's asking you, do you love me? Do you love me? Maybe you've made that step, but you're wrestling with your past. You're wrestling with the brokenness you bring to the table. You too have spectacularly failed and you're bringing that before Jesus and you need to remember that your relationship is secure with him. I wonder for you, that's the step. You've been living from shame, you've been living from brokenness, and you need to remind yourself that Jesus secures you. You are safe in the very hands of Jesus. His forgiveness is there, available, open for you. Or maybe for some of you, you've grown pretty stagnant. You've got the Jesus saves and secures thing, but you've grown comfortable, just kind of week in, week out, going through the motions and, you know, kind of going about your life. And you need to remember that Jesus also has work for us to do. He sends us. That you have been placed in a neighborhood next to neighbors and people around you to love and to care for, to carry on this work of the kingdom of God. You've been placed in your office building, in your classrooms, with your teachers and your classmates and your sports teams and all of those things, not accidentally, but rather God is sending you into the world to continue the message of the gospel. Church, Jesus saves us, he secures us, and he sends us. And the commission for all of us is similar to the very theme that's on these walls in here is we are ready, we are set, now it's time for us to move. It's time for us to take that next step, whatever that looks like for you. So I invite you this week, like we have with all of you campers, to say, where are you at in the journey of faith? What is it? Is it a next step you need to take? I invite you to take that. Maybe for you, that's receiving prayer today after service. Maybe that's talking to a pastor, a community group leader. Maybe that's having a lunch with a friend. I don't know what the next step is. But I think you might know what the next step is. You might know what that little inkling is. And I just invite you, Jesus is waiting on the shore patiently, our loving Savior. And he's asking you and I that question. He asks it more than once in our life. Do you love me? It's a good question for us to close on, church. Do we love him more than these? Let's pray as we close. Lord, I thank you for your patience, God, with us. Lord, I thank you for the story of Peter. I thank you, God, for the immense amount of care and love in which you give us. And God, we cannot be rest assured until we understand your salvation. You, Lord, are the author and the perfecter of our faith. So God, I pray that that story would resonate deep within us. Lord, in such a way that would animate us into life in the world around us. And so God, we give you ourselves. We give you our failures. We give you our successes. Lord, we give you the areas of our life, all of it to you. And may we respond like Peter in such a way that God, we confront our own failure, but Lord, we want to walk boldly like Peter did as well. So God, would you help us with this next step this week, whatever that may look like. Open our eyes and our hearts to you. In Jesus' name, amen.